Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Colleen Rickenbacker is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. She is Ms. Behavior. She's the author of Be On Your Best Behavior, On Your Best Business Behavior, I should say. Be On Your Best Business Behavior. She is has been a professional events planner in her career. She knows all about how the people should behave when they're in business settings. And boy, howdy, I could use some help. I always can. Colleen has deposited her wisdom with us before, but I can use a little bit of a refresher course. Colleen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back. This is National Etiquette Week.
Yes, it is.
So this is like your week of the year, isn't it?
I just wish everybody knew that. It's not advertised. I was going to go down and read the paper this morning and see if they even mention anything.
Well, now that they've heard it on my show, everybody knows.
See? The whole world does now.
The whole world. In fact, maybe even on some planets out in the galaxy. What does it mean? What do we need National Etiquette Week?
We can start with some please and some thank you for when you get up in the morning to thank your family, get up, you know, when you go to work, just little things. We start taking things for granted, and it's not, you know, just holding the door for somebody, letting someone out of the elevator before you try to go, you know, bursting into it. Little niceties will make, you know, it'll put a smile on someone's face, and they might turn around and say thank you back to you.
What about when you're at a dinner and they start bringing the food, but they don't always bring it at the same time? Sometimes they bring they typically serve the ladies first.
Mm-hmm.
Which the reason I've figured out why they serve the ladies first, it's not just to be nice to the ladies. It's because the ladies know not to eat until everybody has their food. The guys don't always know that.
Right? That's exactly right.
I got that right, didn't I, Colleen?
Yes, you did.
But if you should happen to get your plate, now I've learned this. You've taught me this, and of course my wife wraps me with a fork every once in a while. But if you should, it hurts though, Colleen. My fingers are broken. I know you would think I would learn, wouldn't you? But if the food's served at your plate at your table at a dinner. And, you know, don't pick up your fork. Don't eat anything. Sit there with your hands in your lap until everyone has their food. How am I doing, Colleen?
That's excellent. Excellent, excellent. Let me add one thing to that, though. Say that someone at the table, all the food is served except for one, mm-hmm. and it's not there, and this person maybe has a special meal coming, a vegetarian right. or something special. Then that person that has this special meal coming should turn to everybody and say, please start.
Right.
Don't argue back and forth and say, oh, no, we'll wait. Just start, because then your meal could get cold, and his could be a couple more minutes.
Well, we could toss them a roll, couldn't we?
I'm sorry? There you go.
We could just toss that person a roll. Would you like for me to butter that for you, sir?
Yes. I'm just teasing,
folks. Just trying to have a little fun here. Okay. What else do we need to know?
I mean, dinner's a good way to start. And this is a good way also. I mean, dinner's great because everybody eats every day. You don't necessarily eat, you know, the same amount of meals, same time. But dinner is such a, you know, nice. Even if it's for little children, teach them how not to talk with their mouth full this week. Teach them, you know, that keep their arms off the table. Just they can sit up straight. They don't have to be poker straight. But just nice and be back away from the table, not having their head down.
But isn't
food.
That why we have elbows?
Jim.
I'm just teasing, Colleen. Let me ask you. You talked about eating with your mouth full.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the conversation? I mean, at a table like this, you got lots of conversation, and people always ask you a question when you got your mouth full. Am I supposed to take? You know. You always tell us we have to chew our food 29 times. So I mean, what do I do? Can I absolutely not say anything with any food in my mouth?
Correct.
Well, you're tough.
Because even that little bit of food in there, people can see it. And that, when you open your mouth, I hate to say it, it's gross. It looks bad. And, you know, when you're a little kid, they'll say, you know, whatever, let me see what you're eating, and you do it, mm-hmm. that's fine. But, you know, that's fine when it's fun, but little kids still need to know when it's, you know, not to do it in a nice restaurant. First of all, take small bites. A lot of people take huge, huge bites, and then it takes a lot longer, especially if it's a harder food to digest or to chew. Take smaller bites. You know, you can still eat it all, but just take smaller bites. And that way, when someone's there, it won't take that long to chew it. But you can motion for them even by putting your finger up, just saying one moment, or just a, like a nod of your head. People will know, and then maybe they'll hopefully pick up the law in the conversation and say something until you can get in. Things are important, but nothing is that important that you open your mouth when you have food in there. So just sit back, wait a couple seconds, and you'll be ready to go.
All right. Now, what about dessert? If there's a seat next to me, nobody's there. It's like an empty seat, and the dessert's already served. Can I eat their dessert? Can I eat that dessert too? Can I eat mine and that dessert too?
It depends. My first thought is, of course not. But it depends. If it's like
dessert, Cully, for God's sake, it's dessert.
I know, that's my favorite part.
It's New York cheesecake with strawberries on it.
I doubt anybody seriously needs two pieces of cheesecake. But anyway, no. The first answer is no. You should not go for other things around the table. Or, you know, just leave their food alone and someone will take it away. Now, to go back, though, to desserts, if say that you are and it's just you and some friends and you all want to share your desserts, you can do that. But use your own fork when you go into the center or your own spoon. Mm-hmm. Don't use a community spoon or a community fork, which I'll see people doing.
Okay, remind me, which is my water and which is my bread plate?
Okay, I'm going to give you, I know you can't see me right now, so we can't do the B&D rule.
Well, just do the left and right thing.
Left and right. Okay, what you want to remember is the car, BMW. And if you just think of the car, the way it reads, BMW, the initials, it goes left to right. So your B stands for your bread and butter. So it's always going to be on your left. All food will be on the left unless it's in the center of your plate.
Right.
So B stands for your bread. M is your meal, and W is water. But take it for all drinks.
So the butter plate on the left is
always.
I mean, the bread plate on the left is my plate, is mine.
Yes.
And the water on the right
is
mine.
I mean, there's, and then just another little hint, too, about forks and spoons, if you don't know how to set the table. Fork is a letter with four, F-O-R-K, so is left, L-E-F-T.
Right, right.
Okay, spoon, knife, five letters, same way with right. And then one other last clue, people do this. These are a little bit more confusing for me. That's why BMW works real well for me. But DR is drinks on the right. Just remember that, drinks, DR, drinks on the right.
All right. That's well, you know, sometimes I sat at a dinner last week, and they had so many people at each table that everything was all shoved up, and I really got confused.
Right.
Thank goodness everybody else at the table was as lost as I was. Thank you. Hang on a second, Colleen. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more etiquette with Colleen Rickenbacker right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Colleen Rickenbacker is our guest. She's the author of Be On Your Best Business Behavior. And Colleen, give us your website, please.
ColleenRickenbacher.com.
ColleenRickenbacher.com. That's two L's and two E's.
Yep.
And Rickenbacker is just like you would think, with a K in front and the H in the back. ColleenRickenbacher.com. And if you want to learn more about etiquette and how to behave yourself in business settings especially, Colleen, I know you want to get into some other areas, but I want to ask you one question before we go, before we go there. When a woman gets up at a table, when we're at a dinner, like a business dinner, and a lady gets up to go powder her nose or whatever, guys don't stand up anymore, should they?
I know. Yes, they should.
They should?
And if it's military etiquette, then obviously every man at that table
can stand up. Well, that's different. No, when the uniform's going on, that's all different.
And it looks so grand. But if it's just everyday etiquette, I don't care if it's your wife, your friend, you know, girlfriend, niece, it doesn't matter. The closest man to that woman standing up or sitting there should stand up. So if you are to my left or my right, it doesn't matter, and I get up, stand up. And the other thing I call it is bottoms up. Just get your bottom up off the chair. You don't have to do a whole complete stand, but at least, you know, that's you're noticing that the person is beside you. It's getting
well,
up.
Well, it seems to me, It seems to me that the guy nearest her should stand up and help her with the chair, and then maybe, and when she comes back, put it back. Not just get your butt out of the chair, but actually do something useful.
It would be nice. And if you would, I think everybody around you that would see it would applaud for you. It's nice. It's very, very nice. And it's not any of this women's lib stuff. It's anything else. It's just a nice, kind man.
I have never had any women tell me not to do that.
And see, a lot of men do. And I'm screaming at the women, just let them do it. This is what they've been taught. This is what they know. Don't stop them.
Have you been where women said, you know, I don't need any help with my chair?
Yes.
You have? Okay.
I've seen them do it with doors. I've seen them with chairs and everything. And it makes me mad. It just makes me very sad is probably a better word.
It's unfortunate, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That way the younger ones will see it and then they'll stop doing it. No. So the men closest to the woman getting up as they go and come back, you should at least try to help them with their chair both ways.
Okay. All right. What are some other things to think about on National Etiquette Week?
That, to me, this is probably the most important, is public etiquette. Be considerate of the people around you. Meaning, when you go to the get up and go out to go anywhere, and you walk out the door, turn around. See if there's somebody within the next couple seconds that are going to be following you. And if there is, or coming the opposite way, just stand there for a couple seconds and hold the door for them.
Colleen, I think your message is getting out, because I'm seeing more and more of that.
So am I.
I really am. In elevators in doorways, I'm seeing it's becoming more instinctive for folks, isn't it?
Right. And then hopefully the person that you just held the door for, they'll turn to you and say, thank you. You know, just a nice little smile and little eye contact is so nice. And when you sit elevator, same thing. Don't go rushing into the elevator. You can't go anywhere until the people, if they have to get off, they got to get off. Let them off. Stand to the side. Maybe hold the door for them. You know, put your hand there so it doesn't, you know, try to close on them. And if you're standing there and there's maybe elderly people or mothers with young little kids, let them get on first because they got more of a little baggage there. They got maybe a slower gate to get in. Hold the door. And then if you get in first, move to the back. If you're going to get out right away, like the next floor, then just move over to the side. But get out of people's way so they can get on.
I did something the other day that I wanted to ask you about. I saw a gentleman who was handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing something, and my first instinct was to help him.
Right.
And I did.
Right.
And he didn't say anything. He accepted my help.
Mm-hmm.
But I also could see that I moved too quickly, and he didn't really need my help.
Yeah.
He was capable of negotiating it by himself. He was making his own way as a handicapped person, a disadvantaged, you know, disabled person, I should say.
Right.
And I remember thinking, you know what, next time I'm going to wait about two more seconds and see if this person needs help or if maybe I should just mind my own business. What do you think?
Well, pause for a second because a lot of people, they're used to it. This is what they do every day. But it's not to say that they're not appreciative for what you offer to do because they have the right to say, no, I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Right.
But, you know, look at them and see, you know, it's the same way with helping people across the street, letting them get into a door, everything else. Some of them are very stubborn because they want to do it on themselves, and God bless them, let them do it.
Right.
But
well,
it still is a nice little gesture on your part. Then it's up to them. They can say, no, I'm fine, or yes, I would like some help, because you never know.
They
have it under control.
My intentions were good, but I learned a lesson there. I'm going to stand back and maybe give it an extra couple of seconds and sort of survey the situation next time and make sure that I'm not, minimizing what they've accomplished, so to speak.
Exactly.
I'd never want to do that.
Yeah, and you might just start off with, how are you today? And do you need any help, or may I help you?
Mm-hmm.
If you need any help, that's their cue. They can say, no, you know, I do this every day, I'm fine, but thank you so much.
You know,
it's still nice to make the offer.
Another thing is helping people with small children who are traveling, like at airports.
Yes.
Those folks need help sometimes, but you got to do it right.
Exactly.
Or you come across as a stalker or something.
Right, right. And especially with their little kids that they're very protective of.
Right,
you know, just a nice little, may I help you with that bag, or can I help get your stroller here,
mm-hmm.
or do you want me to put that down for you while you're trying to get
all your kids? You got to be careful. They might say, will you take this kid? I'm out of here. Hey, Colleen, give us your website again, please.
It's ColleenRickenbacher.com.
Two L's and two E's, ladies and gentlemen. Colleen, thank you for being here. Good job.
Oh,
we'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
National Etiquette Week, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.